You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Beginning at 9 this morning, it is open play at the Northwest Connection Family Resources Center, located at 15896 West 3rd Street here in Hayward. Come join your friends or make some new ones while playing with your kids in the children's environment. A snack will be provided. Again, open play from 9 o'clock until 11 at the Northwest Connection Family Resources. Elder Christmas check distribution will be happening today at the Peter Larson Room, held at the Lakotah Ojibwe Administrative Government Building, from 9 until 2 o'clock today. Again, elder checks will be distributed Friday, December 5th from 9 until 2 in the Peter Larson Room. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up today. They are located at the Spider Lake Church Youth Center at 11255 Highway 77 here in Hayward, just north past the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They got lots of canned goods, produce, and meats available. Everyone's encouraged to get food from this program, regardless of your financial situation. Again, the Spider Lake Church Hayward Campus at their youth center. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be open from 10 until 3. Boys Varsity Wrestling for Spooner School District will be at an invitational at the Glenwood City High School starting at 4 o'clock. Again, Spooner School District Boys Varsity Wrestling at Glenwood City High School beginning at 4 today. Girls Varsity Basketball for Barron School District will be doing a home game at the Barron High School. Again, Girls Varsity Basketball starting at 7 o'clock at Barron High School. The Boys Hockey for Hayward School District, during their game, will be doing a teddy bear toss. Again, at 7 o'clock game at the Hayward Sports Center. This is a home game. They're looking for new stuffed animals only, and all items collected will go to the patients at the Tamarack Health here in Hayward. Again, this will be during the boys' varsity hockey game starting at 7 o'clock at the Hayward Sports Center against Monona Grove. Again, boys' varsity hockey at home playing Monona Grove, 7 o'clock at the Hayward Sports Center. And they're collecting teddy bears at this game as well to benefit those patients at the Tamarack Health here in Hayward. Girls varsity basketball for Hayward School District will be in Barron this evening at 7 o'clock. Again, girls varsity basketball for the Hayward School District will be away game at the Barron High School. Girls varsity basketball for Spooner will be playing a home game at 7 o'clock. Again, girls varsity basketball, Spooner School District, 7 o'clock at home. The Hayward Christmas Cantata will be performed tonight at 7 o'clock at the Hayward High School Auditorium. Let There Be Christmas, a cantata by Joseph M. Martin. Again, the Hayward Community Choir presenting their Christmas Cantata at the Hayward High School Auditorium starting at 7 o'clock this evening. On Saturday, 8 o'clock, fresh early in the morning, a Christmas Fest will be held in the Birchwood, Wisconsin area. For more information, you can visit birchwoodwi.com. Again, Christmas Fest starts at 8 o'clock and goes until 3 that afternoon in the Birchwood, Wisconsin area. Winter Magic Craft Fair, put on by the Ladysmith Community Center. They'll have dozens of vendors from around the area, foods, activities, and pictures. This will be held at the Ladysmith Community Center, 624 Lindor Avenue in Ladysmith. Again, the Northland Community Club presents Winter Magic Craft Fair Saturday, December 6th from 9 until 2 at the Ladysmith Community Center. The Hayward Community Food Shelf out on Highway 63, more exactly at 16216 U.S. Highway 63. They are open the first Saturday of each month from 9 until noon. More information is at thehaywardfoodshelf.net. Just click on the button that says Need Food. The second chapter Christmas sale in Cable will be happening at the Cable United Church of Christ. They host this sale every year of gently used Christmas items from the 6th from 9 until 1. They are located at 13445 County Highway M in downtown Cable. The second chapter Christmas sale will take place in the Fellowship Hall of the church, and lots of Christmas items available. This year's proceeds from the sale will benefit the Drummond Elementary School. The funds will be used to expand the curricular resources, provide students with more hands-on learning experiences. Again, they're looking for gently used holiday decorations, linens, dishes, and books are all available to bring in. However, artificial Christmas trees will not be accepted for the sale. Again, the sale is this Saturday, 9 until 1 o'clock at the Cable United Church of Christ, the second chapter Christmas sale in Cable. A Cane's Christmas will be held at the Hayward High School, more specifically the Tamarack Health Fitness Center. There'll be vendors, music, and games available. There's even a bake sale to benefit the Northwoods Humane Society here in Hayward, all happening this Saturday.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the front porch. Joel and Gray here on a Friday morning. Oh, just lapping in the luxury of this mild weather here this morning on the front porch, Gray.
That's what I was thinking. Yes, sir. I wrote something similar for my own show. It's just, I'm grateful for 12 degrees, and that's...
Oh, when 12 degrees feels warm, you know you're in the heart of winter. Yeah. Well, still fall, technically. It's the autumnal equinox right now, technically. The leaves are still falling. It's not winter yet.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds like a lie.
It really is. Winter doesn't start till like the 20th or something like
that. Yeah, oh yeah. That's. Yeah. I love that. When people used to tell me, like, happy summer, and I was that kid, too. Because it mismatches. It's wrong. The seasons are incorrect.
We talk NFL on Friday. And I'm gonna put the stake into the Cowboys. Cowboys done. 10-6-1 is not gonna get you into the playoffs, even if they win out. So Dallas Cowboys done. Detroit Lions, well, they're still in the hunt, but they're not the team they were the last couple years after last night's game.
No, I mean there are teams that are turning it around though all the time, so I don't know. I want to look at the mathematical possibilities. We're in the playoff math part of the season. I'm very curious if there's like a three other teams do exactly this thing and the Cowboys do pretty well afterward kind of scenario.
Yeah, but, you know, the Lions still have games against the NFC North. And, I mean, Lions are 8-5, and they're right there, so they're going to have a chance to make the playoffs. I just don't know if they've got the line. I think the line is an issue for them. They just don't seem to have that physical, intimidating Man Campbell, bite your kneecaps off type of play that they've had the last couple of years. It just doesn't seem to be there this year.
Yeah, it shows in flashes, but when it was Ben Johnson and that offensive line of last year or the year before, it was every single down. They were looking like that team. Somebody was doing something that just looked, wow. They really had some diesel going.
Yeah, and they're at the point already where they're going to need some help. I mean, the Lions could win out and still not, possibly not even make the playoffs, probably would, but the possibility is there. But the Lions, you look at the rest of their schedule, you know, they're gonna host Los Angeles coming up in their next game. They're going to go to Atlanta, should get that one. They're going to host Miami, probably get that one. And they got Houston in there too. So it's not a horrible schedule they have. Down the stretch, I mean, they very easily could win three out of those four. So I'm gonna say the Lions are probably could make the playoffs. But I don't know if you've noticed the NFC South, is it, where like Seattle and those guys, there's like 9-3, 9-4, 9-3. That's the West. Yeah, that now I think is the best division in football. Right? Can we say that?
Ignoring the Cardinals who are over there, you're looking at the Rams and Seattle, and who else is over there?
Yeah, that other team from the West.
I'm terrible. I've got a lot of things straight in my mind, but the divisions still get me twisted.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, you've got the Rams at 9-3, Seahawks at 9-3,
the Niners,
and the Niners at 9-4, and then Arizona's done. So, I mean, it's looking like unless the Niners falter, that the Lions may be the odd team out when it comes to the playoffs. But we have an epic get together for the Bears and the Packers on Sunday. They flexed that game, by the way, to 3:25. If I was going to put any kind of monetary pile of cash on this game, I would still lean on the Packers, just because I think Love is still better than Caleb right now overall.
It's so tough. I'll be honest. These are about even in my mind. Coming into Lambeau, though, is I think the edge here. But without that, like December 20th, that's the second game. These teams play again on December 20th. So
yeah, 2 weeks.
It's gonna be pretty. Wow. Yeah.
I know. That's exactly the pause and exactly the word. It's gonna be at Lambeau Field, and you've got we've seen the maturation of Caleb Williams. He's leaning into his strengths. Yep. I think is what we're doing now. He is not a great passer. You'll see it on Sunday. He'll sail one to an open receiver. He'll miss it here and there, but everything else that he brings, he's reduced the turnovers and just his physical presence. I think you will see him. If you can find something that says plus on the rush yards, I'd be taking that on Sunday, because I think Caleb Williams, this is the time of the year where the coaches say, you know what? We're gonna put you out in the flat. We're gonna let you take off a little bit, and because this is the game. This is a big one.
Well, and it's gonna be very doable, because I think Jeff Hafley, Packers defensive coordinator, he's got some decisions to make with Devontae Wyatt out there on the interior defensive line. We've got to figure out who's going to be the anchor and stop the run, and he's been doing it by rotation, and it's been working well enough with some good snaps out of everybody he's tried, but. Man, they're going to test them. The Bears are going to test whoever is there in the middle of the Packers defensive line. And they're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to earn the pass, and then they're going to use that pass. And here's the thing. Don't count out whoever loses on Sunday. Just don't.
A correction on the Lions schedule. For some reason, ESPN likes to put the preseason games at the end of the regular season schedule. So I'm going to backtrack totally on my thoughts on the Lions. At Los Angeles, hosting Pittsburgh, at Minnesota, at Chicago. Lions are done. All right, Lions are done. I'm 2-2. And they're not going to beat Los Angeles. I don't think they're going to win at Chicago. And if the Vikings figure out if anybody shows up at quarterback, the game against Minnesota will be a hard game if the Vikings just have a point guard that can dribble at some point.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Packers Browns game early in the season where defense just goes wild and one mistake might define the game. I think the Christmas game is shaping up to be that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a Christmas Day game with Detroit at Minnesota, and that could be a knockout punch to the Lions if the Vikings find a way to get a quarterback and win that game. But 3:25 on Sunday is the Packers and the Bears. We're going to delve into that game and kind of figure out where the Packers are at injury-wise. They had a key loss last weekend, and kind of take a delve into that game here in our segment coming up at about 7:52 here this morning. We do have a keyword that's active right now. I have no idea what it is, but we will share it with you coming up at about 7:52 and give you a chance to win some cash and some other stuff here on the Buzz of the North. Joel and Gray here. We are on the front porch on a mild Friday morning here.
Card,
C-A-R-D. Get that to us right now on the free Civic Media app, C-A-R-D, card. A couple $100 we want to give to you. Good morning, Hayward, on the Buzz of the North, WBZH.
And across the line.
Front porch. I was revving up the snowblower there. Front porch. Joel and Gray on a weekend in the North Woods. Oh, if you love to be outside, you should at least be able to maybe go into the shallower parts of the frozen lakes of the North Woods this weekend. Be careful out there. But this is what our winter folks who love the snowmobiling, those trails are coming. And the ice fishing, Gray, this is the time to shine right here.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Snowblower Massacre.
Oh, yeah. It's like Pete Schwabba's the godfather of Green Bay.
You inspired me.
Gray Gunderson, the park ball. What would the title be again?
The Wisconsin Snowblower Massacre. You don't need Texas chainsaws. It's the Wisconsin snowblowers.
He grew up in a small town in northern Wisconsin.
Too many small towns. Too much small town time. Under the power lines, too.
So the Packers and the Bears, Sunday, 3:25 is your kick on that game. And this is huge. I mean, the loser of this game is not out, but you want to win the division. You have a chance to win the division. You have a chance this year to not leave your home field.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Which is big.
Well, I mean, and with how tight the NFC division is in general, you said the loser's not out, and you're right. This game won't disqualify anybody from the playoffs, but if you stack another loss after whoever loses on Sunday, I mean, even if that is the Bears with their 9 wins, that could be the beginning of a tough time, you know? I always look at the most extreme situation possible, and if you're a winning team like Chicago, like Green Bay, what if you lose out is the question that happens in my mind. For the Packers, that means 8-8-1. Ew, yeah. First of all. For the Bears, it means 9-8.
I would probably guess the Packers have one of the tougher schedules in the final four games after this game. When you go to Denver, and Denver, a lot of people think maybe the best team in the AFC, they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, they're up there competing with New England for the top of that division over there.
Then you go to Chicago in 2 weeks, and then you got Baltimore coming in, and Lamar Jackson and the crew, if you haven't paid attention, they started 1-5, and now they've won like 5 of their last 6.
They're 6-6.
They're 6-6, but Lamar's back.
Yeah.
But Lamar's back.
Rude. And that's not just rude.
Yeah, that's going to be a team probably fighting for a playoff spot. And then you go to Minnesota, and you don't know if the Vikings have a quarterback, that might be a tough game for you to win. So that's a tough schedule, the final four. There's other than that Minnesota game, there's no game that you look at and you say, we're going to be favored.
No. We're going into Minnesota and facing your defense. We've got to put up at least 3 touchdowns against you guys in Minnesota, or I don't think we win that game because I don't think you guys get 3 touchdowns. I mean, who's sitting on the couch? What quarterback is sitting there on the couch right now? Because Max Brosmer and J.J. McCarthy.
Well, I think for the Vikings, it's a matter of if J.J. McCarthy stays healthy, we're going to find out if he's the guy the rest of the way. So if he's healthy, he's going to be on the field. If they've got this Wolford guy sitting at number 3 or whatever. But if J.J. McCarthy's healthy, he'll be out there no matter how bad the last 5 games go for the Vikings, because they want to find out if they have a quarterback to see what they're going to do in the offseason, to see if Malik Willis is going to wear a Viking uniform next year. And they also, if they lose them all, oh, well, we're 4-13. Let's get an 8 or 9 draft pick, or better than that, let's get a 5 or 6 draft pick.
Man, that hurts. That hurts. So many excellent streaks coming to an end. Did you? I know we're chatting football. Did you see that LeBron thing last night?
Yeah, where he scored, what is it, the 10 points?
10 points a game for like for almost 1,300 games, it looks like.
Yeah.
And there's only 26 players who have ever played that many games. Like, my goodness.
There's people that, because of social media, like to diss on LeBron James. But, folks, for what he has done in his career, the length of his career, and the social media pressure that's been on him, I think he's done pretty well. I think he's done pretty good.
Availability is the best ability, and quantity is its own quality. And plus, he's got the quality besides. Even I, the basketball idiot, know that he he had his prime as the top.
I respect him and Steph Curry also in the final year or two of his existence. Just an amazing amazing couple of players. So we mentioned who the Packers play the rest of the way. Here's the Bears. After they go to Green Bay on Sunday, the Bears host Cleveland. You should win that one. Then you got Green Bay at home. And then you go to San Francisco. That'll be a playoff implication game. And then you host Detroit. So I'm going to put the Bears schedule about as hard as the Packers. I'm going to put it right there.
It is. It's right there.
Yeah, I mean, both the Packers and the Bears, you know, after this game today could go 2-2. So let's say the Bears, let's say they lose this game on Sunday. They're 9-4. So now they're 11-6.
Yeah.
That's a borderline playoff record.
It is.
You might
it
not
is.
Even it's, make it.
It's going to be an absolute chop suey at the end of the season here at the top of the NFC. I think right now the top and bottom of the conference, which is the Niners and the Bears, I believe are 1-7. Are 7-1 respectively. You get the idea. They're a loss apart. There's one game separating seven teams right now. So God only knows.
The tiebreaker at the end of the year is going to go down to, let's see, tiebreaker number 47. Who's related to?
points allowed back in 2014. Yeah.
There's going to be some deep tiebreakers going on in there. Although the head-to-head appears to be in place for several of these teams. They have played each other. But we are going to have a different look playoffs this year. There's no doubt about it. The Super Bowl champion, I mean, there is not a favorite. Usually you get into week 13, 14, Gray, and you can say, well, they're the best team in football.
No, nobody right now. The Colts are mortal. The Broncos have problems.
Yeah.
Everybody's got issues. Everybody's shown their neck at some point in the season. In Green Bay's case, kind of early. But if they can get if anybody toughens up over the stretch, they'll become the favorite pretty quick.
You can make an argument for the Packers. I mean, a couple of missed field goals, and the Packers right now are sitting at like, what, 10-1-1 or whatever it would be. I mean, you could make an argument that the Packers have consistently been the best team from game one to now.
Actually, you want to take that as far as possible. If the Packers were 100% on field goal kicks, which is not how it works, but actually they've only missed like 6 or 7 in critical moments. But if you give the Packers 5 more field goals in key moments, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
They're completely undefeated. In every game they've lost or tied, Dallas counts, they had field goals that could have accounted for a victory.
If the path goes through Lambeau Field, folks, you know, you might be looking at a Packer trip to, where's the Super Bowl, New Orleans this year?
I actually don't even know. I never know that until like 3 days before.
You could be. Keyword today, by the way, is, again, what'd you say?
Card.
Card, C-A-R-D. Get that to us on the free Civic Media app. Type on Buzz of the North. Have a great weekend, Gray.
You too, Joel. Football.
All right. Football, Packers, Bears, Sunday, 3:25. Pack right low back in next year on the Buzz of the North.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio today is Jessica Hutchinson from the LCL School District. Good morning, Hutch.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. It's been a while since you and I have talked. We haven't had a lot of conversations since I've been here at WHSM. How have you been? How are things at the school district?
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the invite. It's always good to touch base. I've been good. We're excited about a lot of the things that are happening during this 25-26 school year. It's hard to believe that it's already, a quarter of the way through the school year. But there's a lot happening. Our athletic program is pretty robust, up and running with our fall sports season. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of student activities happening. We have, our monthly powwows, our Monday morning assemblies. It's always a busy place. There's always a lot going on.
And the school is celebrating a pretty significant anniversary. Talk about the history of the school and
the anniversary.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the 25-26 school year is actually the 50th anniversary of the Lacouture Ojibwe School, which is a huge, huge milestone for those listeners that aren't really familiar with the origins of the LCO school. It began as an act of protest by the Lacouture community. A group of students had a walkout from the Hayward School District in the winter of 1975. I believe it was in December.
Yeah.
There wasn't really a school that existed prior to that. There was a K-2 school that was operating on the reservation. So this walkout took place. A lot of parents and elders and tribal government and people kind of really quickly pivoted and scrambled to figure out an educational opportunity for the kids of Lacouture, and they did that successfully. When they came back from Christmas break, they had constructed, and not in real physical terms, but the bones of what today is the Lacouture Ojibwe School. So in January, it will actually be our 50th anniversary of the LCO school. So it's a pretty big milestone that we're celebrating this year.
Recently, with the government shutdown and the SNAP benefits being held off, there has been a lot of community effort with a food shelf that just started up near Kubi's and the credit union. And there's been a couple of community dinners that the school has offered. Talk about those.
Yeah. So kind of just backing up a little bit, we are a tribally controlled school. So that means that our local school board provides our governance.
Sure.
But we're federally funded. So a lot of parents and community members have asked questions about, you know, how does government shutdown impact LCO school, you know, tribal programs. And the answer is we have not, as a school, in terms of finances, felt an impact yet. Luckily, most of the grants and the financial contributions that come from the federal government are forward funded. So we have our full funding for this school year, opposed to, unfortunately, a lot of the public schools who are still relying on getting their impact aid, for example. So we're in a really fortunate position when it comes to that. And because of that, we find it really a priority to try to support the communities, the parents, and the kids that we have as best we can. So aside from the community dinners, which I can talk about a little bit, but we also partner with the Hayward Community Food Shelf and their Food for Kids program. So we have about 37 families that receive weekend backpack meals. And that's something that we're super thankful for our students. So those are a couple of the other priorities. But one of the things that we started a couple weeks ago, kind of really quickly pivoted into support mode, was to host a community dinner. We did that on November 5th. We had some staff that were jumping in to help cook and to serve. Jason Pissonette, our dean of students, donated two deer for the venison that he had harvested. We are also looking forward to January, that community engagement piece. As far as our accreditation goes, we will be hosting another community meal on the 19th of January, and that will be specifically kind of targeted or pitched to our school alumni, because it is going to be really the first big way that we recognize the 50 years of our school existence. So we're going to try to get the word out to our alumni, our former staff, everybody that's really been.
And that's kind of during Treaty Week. Talk a little bit
about
Treaty
Week. That is during Treaty Week. Nice job, Mark.
Yes.
Okay. So Treaty Week at Lacouture, we celebrate Treaty Week, and it's usually the 20th or so of January, that week of school. Treaty Day at Lacouture is on January 25th, and it's on January 25th. It's kind of a big, long, boring, I'm a former social studies teacher, history lesson. I think it's super interesting.
Yes.
But that was the day that the Voight decision was finally decided, which was a federal court decision that reaffirmed Lacouture's inherent sovereign rights to hunt, fish, and gather in ceded territory in the northern part of Wisconsin. So it's a really big deal historically for Lacouture. So at the school, we celebrate Treaty Day. We have a week-long kind of educational seminar where we bring in guest speakers. And that can be from conservation to tribal attorneys to tribal biologists. And they really provide like an all-encompassing education for our students during that week. And then we end the week with a powwow. celebrating Treaty Week. But it's also happens to be the 50th anniversary of our school. So it's a really big, week for Lac-Couturier and for the Lac-Couturier community. And and it just happens to fall during Treaty Week, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, Hutch, thank you for coming in. I hope to have you back on a regular basis, maybe starting in January, since there's a lot of breaks coming up here. And
there are,
hopefully you get to take a break and enjoy
that's
some
the plan.
Family time.
Yeah, that's the plan.
But thanks for coming in today. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Anytime. We always appreciate for, you know, covering what's happening at LCO.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Good. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward information Monday morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.